When the Beatles set up their own business in 1968, they had no intention of confining its activities to music making. It was hoped that their company, Apple, could create just about anything. One plan was to record the thoughts of the 60s counterculture in a series of experimental albums which would be released on the Zappel label. Beatles intimate Barry Miles was put in charge of capturing the zeitgeist.
Yes, it is.
I'm bringing it.
And, well, it all started there. There. It all started there. Back on the docks. My mother was a seaman. And my father was a Jew. My granddad came from Ireland, and that's enough from you.
Hey, now, I stand to come, I see more than I see, I come.
In the summer of 1965, Paul McCartney became a regular visitor to my flat in Hanson Street in the West End of London. He was very interested in the contemporary art scene, and I would play him avant-garde jazz records and electronic music, and lend him books and magazines.
Miles, do you know Miles, of course?
Miles, which Miles?
Barry
International
Miles.
Times?
Yeah.
I
did know Miles very well.
He was a good mate, yeah. I haven't seen him for a long time. But he was like my mate. Has he done a Ginsburg? Great, yeah. That would be all right, because he's a good guy, Miles. We had many a wondrous stoned evening at his place with listening to all sorts of stuff.
Happened to the tape recorder?
The carousel of life. I see you, Jack. Really, as a wheezer do, really. No, honestly. It's a biffo do, this.
The sounds of a happy party recorded live at the Apollo basement in Montague Square.
Can we have some echo on this, please? It's amazing what it does to your voice, isn't it?
Oh, not half. It's really nice.
Really nice.
Well, I've only just come down for the
really
exhibition,
nice.
But...
Well, I mean, we don't get
I'm
big,
amazed
you know,
at what I
well,
see.
No, quite.
I mean, I didn't know
right.
The modern world.
No,
the
I wouldn't have believed it myself
was
either.
Moving forward
no,
at such
I
a
wouldn't
pace.
Have done. I mean, they seem to be running.
Let's go.
See, I think I've got like a certain personality. If I know I get into avant-garde stuff, I don't particularly shout, hey, you know what I'm into now, avant-garde stuff. I just kind of do it and get on with it. So way before John met Yoko and got avant-garde, I was like the avant-garde London bachelor with Miles, my pad in St. John's Wood. I was making like 8 movies and we were showing them to Antonioni. That was pretty far out stuff, you know.
Tomorrow Never Comes is the last cut on the second side, right?
Tomorrow Never Knows.
Tomorrow Never Knows, thank you. Could you give me a vague idea of some of the tape manipulation you used when your voice drops into the track, John? Is that sung backwards by any chance and then recorded forward?
No, it's not sung backwards. It's just...
Be hard to do that.
It's just recorded pretty straight. You know, there's nothing really... there's tape loops on it, which are a bit different.
John used to come from Weybridge, kind of looking slightly goofy and kind of saying, wow, you know, great, this is great, you should do more of this. But I always had this sort of attitude of, well, you know, I am sort of what I am, and this is me just learning and being, getting. So Miles, anyway, turned me on to a lot of that International Times, was it the Green Review or something? Evergreen.
Yeah.
Evergreen, all those little things. Lots of very far out.
Did you tell me about your hobby painting in the trunks?
Yeah, and we used to do a lot of that. But I mean, it never really came out about me. When John went avant-garde, you knew about it.
Was that because he was a self-publicist, or was it just the happening?
No, he's just enthusiasm for whatever he was doing. John was very upfront. I'm not as upfront. I'm just a different personality. You know, it just doesn't occur to me to tell people everything I'm doing.
I realise somebody else is as kind of balmy as me could equally enjoy non-dance music or non-pop music that was, they call it avant-garde, but whatever it is, you know, things to hear in an earphone.
Hey, girlfriend, you're cold, oh. He's being kept under observation.
And we arrived in Cambridge, and it was supposed to be an avant-garde, that word again, jazz thing. And I turned up as her band, you know. I just had a guitar and an amp, and that was the first time I played that style, just pure feedback and whatever it is on that track. And the audience were very weird, because they were all these sort of intellectual artsy-fartsies from Cambridge, you know. But they were uptight because the rock and roll guy was there, even though I wasn't doing any rhythm. If you hear it, it's just pure sound. Because what else can you do when a woman's howling? You know, you just go along with it, right?
They were totally silent.
They were totally silent.
Polite.
Well, the reaction I got from the quote-unquote avant-garde group, not only in Cambridge, it was the same reaction that she got from the rock and roll people. Like, what's she doing here? Or when I was doing the stuff with her, this little tight-knit avant-garde scene would be saying, what the hell, who the hell is he?
Back at Savile Row, Zappel 2 had arrived. George Harrison's electronic sound was basically an album of George trying to master some new electronic toys.
Basement, and there was a couple of gay guys that William Burroughs that knew William, some guy he'd known from Morocco, who was like friends of mine. I don't know how I got him, jumped at bar, and I had faith in the crowd. And it was a scene around London, you know. It didn't matter, gay, schmay, who cared, you know. And we used to sit down in Montague Square, where John eventually got a flat. That was
yeah,
a connection, where he got busted. that was where we used to go. And I remember sitting around with Burroughs, you know, to do little tapes and backward guitar and cello and crazy stuff. But it didn't occur to me the next NME interview I did to say, hey, have you heard William Burroughs, man? He's in town and he's writing the greatest album God's ever done. You know, maybe it would have been good for me to do that. I don't know.
Beg your pardon, sir?
Hello?
We're still on the line, you know.
We don't know what's going on just yet. Don't panic.
Well, I'm afraid it's a crinkle in the tape. I'm afraid it's a crinkle in the tape of the high space super surfers.
I like to do that kind of thing because it's just a little bit away from what I normally do, like the sort of the proper album that you do.
I just book you through your manager there? Should I just give him a call and see if you're free next week?
And I'll be down any right club, any time.
Done, right on.
Yeah.
Get you to eat some carrots on my next album like you did for Super 3.
Yeah, no, I'm only good on celery.
That's right.
Yeah. But, no, it was just one of those things that I've done a little bit of work. I did Fireman with Youth. And we had a lot of fun doing that, because for me it was like everything I've never been allowed to do in the studio.
Why not?
Well, I mean, you know, inverted commas.
Sure.
I mean, what I mean is you go in the studio and you're trying to sing and play properly, trying to actually play the chords right, and you're trying to just sing a song and be in tune. On the kind of album I was making with Youth, he'd sort of say, just go in there and just give it a bit of a rant on the thing, you know, so we'd have a beat together, and I'd go...
Ching-a-ching, boom, boom, boom.
A lovely time.
Talk about the stuff you've done, the Twin Freak stuff, with Freelance Hellraiser, with a mutual friend, Roy.
Roy, yeah.
Who's a great guy.
Isn't
and,
he?
And we've played that song a few times on the radio show. It sounds great. And it caught a few people off guard. We actually asked on text if anyone could identify the mystery vocalist, and a few people got it.
Didn't they?
And you're heavily processed on that track, so a few people picked up your style. So how'd that come about?
I gave him a ring and I said, what I'd like you to do is go back into my multi-tracks and dissect them. Take any drum beat you like, take any vocal you like, take any chords you like, and you can mix them up any way you want.
Can I just interrupt for a second and say that there are producers and beat makers all over the world right now who are actually pissing in their pants at the thought of doing that? That is a dream phone call.
It's something I'd like to do, you know. Okay. It'd be good fun.
The concert began in the dark, and smoke machines filled the stage with fog. At 8:25, the lights came up, and there he was.
Sitting in the stand at the sports arena, waiting for the show to begin. Waiting for the show to begin.
Why don't we kind of just have like a sort of a pageant, sort of interesting thing, like in a club, so that when people came off the street, they would come out of their world into our world. Into our world. Into our world. Into our world.
One of the things we do here is create something we like to call the inner sanctum. We try to keep it really relaxing. Some nice colors, really soothing, all that good stuff. If you were here, you'd smell it. It smells really nice.
You know, I feel like I'm kind of justifying living, you know, which is a bit of a piss-off, because I don't really want to have to sit around and justify myself a bit. But there are lots of things that haven't come out.